Radio's Amanda Winicky as he marks his 100th day in office. You can hear the entire interview with the governor at our website, willnews.org. It's Morning Edition on WILL. I'm Jim Meadows.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason in for Dave Dickey, your director of ag programming this morning. A new study, by the way, of weed control in Illinois fields shows tank mixtures, this for farmers about to go to the field, of herbicide modes of action and not simply rotating herbicides year to year are key to slowing the spread of resistant weeds. You might take that up with your local dealership as you go to the field and consider what your herbicide mixtures might look like for this year. I'll talk, of course, during the coming week with the weed scientist here on campus to see what they have to say about those herbicide mixtures as well. Other things that are happening, work's begun on euthanizing birds and cleaning a Harris, Iowa egg farm that stands to lose about 3.8 million chickens to the highly pathogenic H5N2 avian flu virus that, of course, we've been talking about during our commodity programs for the past 3 weeks and has spread to Iowa, Minnesota, and now to Wisconsin as well. The national average basis, speaking of the marketplace for corn, was a penny stronger overnight at 18 cents under the May futures, while the DTN national average basis for corn was unchanged at 18 cents under the May futures contract. The national average corn index was down 5 cents at $3.55 a bushel. The national average basis for soybeans unchanged at 41 under the May futures contract, and the national soybean index was down 2 cents at $9.35 per bushel. Now let's check in on the weather forecast. Here's Drew Lerner with today's update.
Cool weather will continue to prevail across a big part of the Midwest as we move forward through the next 7 to 9 days. The forecast is going to bring frequent freezes to some of the northern parts of the region. We still have a couple of storm systems that will bring rain across parts of the region as well. The bottom line is certainly not ideal for spring planting, but some progress will be made between weather events, and we look for the first set of showers to occur as we move on out into the day Thursday into Friday in some of the western fringes of the crop country. We do have some showers out there this morning in parts of Ohio and northeastern Kentucky. Most of that is very light. There's also some light showers of rain and snow both occurring across parts of the northern Great Lakes region. Temperatures at this hour are running mostly in the 30s and lower 40s, with the exception of areas near the Ohio River and points southward where there were some upper 40 and 50 degrees readings this morning. Well, the forecast is going to bring a new storm system into some of the western parts of the production region as we get out over the next couple of days, but today we'll likely see most of the precipitation minimized across the region. It'll be a good opportunity for field work across many areas. As we go into the night tonight, we'll still have mostly dry conditions prevailing. There will be, though, a disturbance developing in the plains, in the central plains in particular, that will get going tomorrow. By tomorrow evening, we'll likely see a little bit of shower activity working its way into parts of Iowa and Missouri, and it looks like as we go into the day on Friday, we'll see precipitation advancing across most of the Midwest. We'll anticipate rain totals to run anywhere from about a tenth of an inch upwards to 0.5 inch most often. There will be a few pockets of 1 inch amounts of rain, though, but they certainly will not be very common. The precipitation coverage will be high enough that everybody will expect experience at least a little bit of shower activity, but today and tomorrow should still be mostly good days for drying conditions across the Midwest and an opportunity for a little bit of field work to take place as well. And yesterday, of course, was dry across the region, and we will continue to see some advancement in field progress because of the additional 2 days of dryness coming up. Now, as we get into the latter part of the weekend, we'll experience another storm system beginning to evolve. The storm will likely begin on Sunday in the western Corn Belt and continue Monday and ending on Tuesday out there. For the eastern Corn Belt, we'll likely see precipitation beginning on Monday and going into Wednesday. The storm is advertised to become an upper-level cutoff low-pressure system, and because of that, it will likely have somewhat of a sluggish movement and will also carry a lot of coolness with it as well. Now, freezes will occur over the next couple of nights in the northern parts of the Midwest unassociated with that storm system, but tomorrow morning and again on Friday morning, lows in the 20s and 30s will occur in many areas in the Midwest, with most of the freezes from northern Iowa to northern Ohio and northward. And as we get on out to the middle to latter part of next week, there'll be another round of cold weather, but as that evolves, we'll likely see a lot of cloudiness around, and that will help hold the temperatures above freezing in the more sensitive southernmost parts of the Midwest, the Delta and southeastern states, where crops are more advanced. With that said, though, high temperatures over a big part of the coming week will be 40s and 50s in the northern parts of the Midwest and 50s and 60s in the south. My guess is there'll be a short-term bout of warming that will occur probably on Saturday and Sunday afternoons ahead of the next bigger storm system. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
All right, thanks. Of course, go to Drew Lerner for his daily updates of the weather forecast, not only for here in the Midwest, but across the growing regions around the planet. Let's take a look now at what's been happening in Chicago as the trade is opened at 8:30 a.m. this morning and now is moving through the marketplace. Corn futures are up a half cent in the May at 373 and a half, December 397 and a half, unchanged for the day. May beans at 971 and a quarter are down 4 cents. November contract at 954 and a half, 2 and a quarter lower. Meal is off $1.20, oil down 5 cents. Live cattle futures are 45 lower, feeder cattle are down 37 and a half, and lean hogs are 70 cents lower. Soft red winter wheat in the July contract up a penny and a half at 501 and three quarters, and the hard red at 519 and a quarter is a quarter of a cent higher. Bill Gentry is here from Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, to take up the marketplace with us. Good morning to you, Bill. Tell me a little bit about what you've seen in the marketplace and your considerations as we make our way through the day today. Well, just give me a moment, and we'll bring Bill back into the market, into our conversation, and see whether we can bring him up. There we are. That's probably the reason you weren't there. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Good morning, Todd. Glad to be with you again.
No, good to be with you as well. So tell me about a couple of things that have been happening in the marketplace. I know avian flu is starting to create quite a stir. What do we know about it at this point and its impact on the marketplace, at least?
I think the two tipping points that we've heard of late is the finding of the flu in Iowa, which is the largest egg producer. I think that that's got a lot of people a little bit nervous. Also, I think that Mexico halting importation of poultry and eggs from us is also another big issue. But it also leads us to the conclusion, or the beginning to making the conclusion, that maybe the worst is behind us. It's obviously, when you're dealing with a flu like this, just like we dealt with the problems with the hog market last year, you never know. It's not over till it's over. But at this point in time, we think the market's probably dialed in the largest percentage of it. And now we have to go back and trade reality. Reality then becomes weather. Some guys are making some progress, other guys aren't. The cold temperatures that we're going to experience the balance of this week is not normal, and guys with seed in the ground and that might be a touch wet are probably going to be a skosh nervous. We don't know what the impact's going to be, but it's probably not going to be optimal, and so we'll watch and see what kind of progress we get next week. Option expiration on Friday is also something to watch. Corn, beans, and wheat. Corn options, 380 calls and 370 puts have the biggest open interest, so we'll see if there's an impact there, some gravitational pull, so to speak. 980 calls and 960 puts in beans. We've been trading right in between them, so I don't think there's a big bias there. And then $5 wheat calls and puts seem to be the focal point. That's going to be a slippery spot. Anybody that's short those options is going to have to figure out which side of the equation to be on and protect themselves accordingly. The open interest has been coming down briskly over the last 2 days.
With the cold and wet weather both, are we concerned that we'll slow down planting progress again at all?
Yes, I think that's indeed a possibility. I think agronomically in-house, we've been basically suggesting to producers that maybe pull back a little bit and be patient. We've got a lot of equipment and plenty of time yet. But I don't think that the numbers next week will reflect it overall, because the guys out west and north have been drying up, that they've been making good progress. It's probably going to be the week after where we see the slowdown in the numbers.
Anything on the livestock side that we should take a look at? For instance, we have a report Friday afternoon.
I think right now the hogs have a little bit of a positive bias. I was asked by a Western radio station last week about, do we have bigger poultry or bigger hog numbers coming? We seem to think that at the initial spot that hog production may be slowing down a little bit, or not slowing down, the increase is slowing down. But in the broad strokes, we don't know, but I do think the price action seems to be a little bit more positive for hogs and a little bit negative for cattle.
Thanks so much, Bill.
Thank you, Todd.
Bill Gentry, of course, is with Risk Management Commodities. He's out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us on this Wednesday morning to take a look at the marketplace. We'll be back in just an hour to do another update. Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson will join us at that time. Outside markets at this hour, trading crude oil at $56.47 a barrel, and the wholesale price of gasoline at $1.90 and a tenth. That one's up a penny and 3 tenths. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9 HD3 Urbana.
Good morning. The Department of Justice is investigating a Baltimore man's death. When police took him into custody, he was alert. An hour later, he couldn't breathe. We'll hear more on Morning Edition from NPR News. This hour, Europe's migration crisis on the seas. I'm David Green.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. We'll hear firsthand accounts from the rescue effort following the migrant shipwreck off the Libyan coast. Hundreds died. One rescuer called the scene a floating cemetery. Addressing that crisis has many challenges, but the president of the European Parliament tells us much more can be done. And a new book examines America's eternal hope that China will westernize. The author calls it the China Mirage. It's Wednesday, April 22nd, Earth Day, which began 45 years ago. News is next.